Have you ever noticed how some places, they aren't just locations, they're more like stages for our
Oh,
memories?
absolutely. Places that just feel completely soaked in the past.
Exactly. And today we're doing a deep dive into one of those, a really cherished memory full of that interesting mix of what really happened and, well, a kid's amazing imagination. We're looking at parts of Saugus Speedway, a boy's racing odyssey. And it's not just about a racetrack.
No, not at all.
It's really about this unique bond between a father and son, the sound, that roar of the engines, and this incredible world built inside a young boy's head. We're kind of peeling back the
Right.
layers.
And our mission really is to see how sharing these passions, even when they're seen through that, youthful, sometimes pretty self-important lens, how they can build these really deep connections and actually lay the groundwork for dreams later on. We'll look at the details, the specific things that make the memory so vivid, and what that maybe teaches us about appreciation looking back.
Absolutely. And it's quite a journey, isn't it? We're going from this very unusual memory trigger called Trash Can Carl,
Huh, yeah, that's memorable in itself.
right through the sort of controlled chaos of Saugus Speedway itself, and then right into little Carl's head where he's running these imaginary races and, obviously winning them all.
Of course, undisputed champ.
Get ready for a ride, as they say.
Let's do it.
So, okay, let's start with that name, Trash Can Carl. It's such a physical way to describe memory. That customary kick-out love tap, the WAPSA sound, and memory just exploding into sound and color. What's that telling us right away?
Well, it's not just like a cute phrase, is it? It's a really smart narrative move. It immediately tells you memory isn't just hitting play on a recording, that whap and the explosion. It highlights how active memory is, how we kind of reconstruct it, with our feelings, our biases. They shape the recall.
So it's not like a perfect photo album.
Exactly. It's dynamic. It's messy sometimes. And it sets up why little Carl's view of things might be, let's say, highly subjective, but still feel totally real to him.
Okay, that makes sense. It underlines how intense these childhood things feel, and that definitely comes through with the place itself, Saugus Speedway. You paint this picture of sensory overload. It's a coliseum. The drivers are gladiators.
Yeah.
Roaring engines, screeching tires, even the smell, sweet gasoline, and pure unadulterated adrenaline. What's the effect of describing it in such, well, almost epic terms?
It immediately elevates it, doesn't it? It's not just some local track anymore. In the memory, in the story, it becomes this sacred place.
Right, hallowed ground.
Yeah, where legends were made, at least in his mind. And all those sensory details pull you right in. It makes the experience feel huge, important. And then there's the detail about mom not being there.
Oh, right. She preferred quieter things.
Yeah, and that's key. It's not a criticism, it just highlights this was their thing, a specific dad and little Carl expedition.
A bonding ritual.
Exactly. It carves out this special space just for them, away from normal life. Makes it even more significant.
So inside this special world, this Coliseum, they had their favorites, the modifieds. Those were the cars, the kings of this asphalt kingdom.
The main event cars.
And Dad's guy was Jimmy Jim. But then we get little Carl's take.
Yes, little Carl's expert analysis.
Right. Jimmy Jim, okay, he had a certain level of competence, but light years behind little Carl's inherent genius.
Naturally.
This Carl-centric view, where looking at another driver's car for too long was questionable judgment. What does this kid's self-importance tell us?
Well, it's funny, but it's also really insightful, I think. It shows that classic childhood egocentrism, right? Kids genuinely often see themselves as the center of everything.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And the story uses that brilliantly. It's not just building little Carl's character, it's kind of subtly making us think about our own memories. How subjective are they? How much of our own legend do we build?
That's a good point. We all kind of narrate ourselves, don't we?
We do. So it's less about objective fact and more about who we were when the memory was made.
It's wild how early that starts. Okay, so all this buildup leads to the main event, the figure eight race, which sounds terrifying, frankly.
It does.
A spectacle of automotive gladiatorial combat, a metal-crunching ballet of near misses. These drivers are fearless or perhaps slightly insane.
A fair assessment, probably.
And little Carl's right there in the front row, his tactical command post, yelling out highly strategic advice.
Which the drivers obviously couldn't hear, let alone comprehend his genius.
Obviously. So how does this peak chaos combined with little Carl feeling like he's part of it make the memory stick?
Well, it creates this intense shared excitement. But the father-son part is interesting here. Little Carl's loud, vocal, right, yelling strategies.
Yeah.
But Dad's reaction is different. Not yelling. He makes these guttural noises, these deep, rumbling sounds of approval.
Ah, yes. You connect that to another memory, the kneeboarding jump.
Exactly. The gravity-defying wake jump. Those rare sounds from Dad, they weren't just noise. They felt like golden, precious nuggets of affection. For a kid, especially maybe with a quieter parent, those subtle signs of approval can hit way harder than big cheers. They spoke volumes about his paternal pride, even amongst all that engine noise. It's a quiet connection in a loud place.
That's powerful. Okay, so we've got the track, the noise, the internal monologue. But the journey there is almost a whole story in itself.
Mm-hmm. The anticipation.
The Lincoln Continental, their noble speed, leaving the mundane world for the glorious realm of speed. And the highway, the grapevine especially, becomes this vast, beckoning racetrack in little Carl's mind.
Right. The transformation begins before they even arrive.
Totally. He's in the front passenger seat, his rightful place as the future ruler of the racing world, naturally.
Of course. Where else?
And his imagination just takes over. Other cars are competitors. Mm. Curves become daring hairpin turns. Every lane change is a strategic masterpiece.
He's already racing.
He's inventing moves, the Valley Viper slide, the Grapevine Gambit. And poor Jimmy Jim, just a distant speck of mediocrity in the rear view. Little Carl has already won the championship in his mind before they even get off the highway.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
What does that tell us about, you know, kids' imaginations and anticipation?
It shows how imagination doesn't just, like, add flavor to reality for kids. Mm. It can create a whole parallel reality.
Yeah.
What he's projecting onto that drive is maybe more real to him than just sitting in a car. That mental race isn't just daydreaming. It's how he processes the excitement. The journey itself becomes part of the main event, a stage for his fantasy.
Turning the boring bits into something epic?
Pretty much. It's a powerful mental tool.
Okay, now flip that. The return journey. After all that intensity, both real and imagined, little Carl is just wiped out.
Completely drained.
Yeah.
As you would be after winning such a grueling mental championship.
Right. He's sprawled on the vast, luxurious back seat, which is now his throne for the conquering hero. Mm. And the detail about the drool, a glistening badge of honor.
Earned through extreme mental exertion, naturally.
Even his dreams are still at the track. Roaring engines, deafening cheers, louder now, chanting his full name, Little Carl the Invincible, and the satisfying crunch of metal. But the soundtrack, Dad's approving rumbles from the front seat. What's the deal with this exhausted, dream-filled ride home with Dad as the steady driver?
I think that contrast is really telling. You've got Little Carl's internal world still going wild, but physically he's crashed. And Dad is the constant.
The steadfast chauffeur.
Yeah, but more than that, he's providing this bubble of paternal protection. He's the anchor.
Mm.
Little Carl is totally vulnerable, asleep, drooling, but safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often in those quiet moments after the big excitement, you know, that the emotional connection really sinks in. It's not about big dramatic talks. It's about that steady, quiet presence. That's what builds that sense of security, that bedrock for the memories.
Consistency.
Exactly. That reliable presence is huge. And really, that leads us right to the core idea from your sources, what we're calling the principle of shared passion and budding appreciation.
Right.
These trips, they were way more than just going to see some races.
Mm-hmm.
They were, as you put it, a glimpse into Dad's happy place.
Yeah, that's a key phrase. It wasn't just about little Carl's experience.
No.
So the big insight is how strong that connection can be, built on sharing something, even if one person, little Carl, is mostly wrapped up in his own kind of inflated view of things.
Precisely. Because even with all his fantasies about being the racing king,
yeah,
there was still this real underlying current of shared experience. Dad's quiet enjoyment, those rare rumbling sounds, they might not have fully validated little Carl's genius in his own mind.
Probably not.
But they were deeply meaningful anyway. The whole ritual, the anticipation driving up, the noise and excitement, the tired drive home, it all wove a bond between them. Mm. And the lesson seems to be, you know, even when we're stuck in our own heads, our own ambitions, just sharing something with someone, seeing their happiness, that plants seeds, seeds of connection, maybe appreciation that grows later.
So the foundation for his own later dreams.
Yeah, it was built right there on that shared excitement, maybe, and those quiet rumbles of approval from his dad at that noisy, dusty track.
So thinking about all this, What does it mean for you listening? We've journeyed to this old speedway, felt the engines roar through a child's memory.
Yeah.
It's a really potent reminder, isn't it, that our strongest memories are often this mix, this blend of what was actually there and our own very personal internal world.
It really is. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Think about your own childhood memories. How much of what you remember as truth was actually shaped by your kid imagination or by picking up on subtle things from the adults around you?
That's a deep question.
And how do those early experiences, those feelings, maybe still echo in how you think about connection or even your own ambitions today?
Definitely something to chew on. And look, before we wrap up, if this kind of deep dive into stories and language gets you excited, we really hope you'll check out customenglishclasses.com. We put together some unique resources. Like for teachers, there's a teacher's toolkit for ESL stories using narratives just like this one.
And for learners, there's the Learner's Listening Package, great for practicing on the go, or the Complete Library for a really full learning experience, listening and reading combined.
Yeah, the Complete Library gives you everything the Listening Package, plus voiceovers, written texts at different levels, A2, B2, C2, full access, past and future stuff while you subscribe.
And the cool thing running through all of it is using these kinds of unique stories powered by some smart AI tech to make learning English feel less like work and more like, well, an engaging exploration.
Absolutely. So if you're ready to unlock more learning through stories, pay us a visit. CustomEnglishClasses.com. That's CustomEnglishClasses.com. Find a plan that works for you.
Hope to see you there.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you next time.